Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
First of all, this is a political movement, not a theological movement or a religious movement. It's a movement driven by external forces, the gay community.
I think what Jesus was saying there on the cross is, I thirst, I desire to drink every ounce of your wrath, O God, so that no people must ever face it. I thirst, make sure the cup is empty.
Our ethos determines our ethics, and our ethics determines our future.
I often hear people arguing that this is the Obama administration hates religion. No, that isn't the case at all. The Obama administration loves religious groups.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Just a little taste of the four soundbites that we have for you to listen to and to vote on in 20 minutes during Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week coming to you live this Friday afternoon, June the 9th. All you got to do is listen, and we'll be giving away the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad, and also to the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week coming up in 20 minutes. We're going to give away an absolutely free registration to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference that starts 1 week from today. So wait about 20 minutes. We'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The big stories sometimes have a time of anticipation, don't they? There's the story before something happens, and you read all about it, and then the thing happens, and then there are the stories after it happens. The biggest story probably to fit into that category lately is the decision by the Boy Scouts of America to admit openly gay members. Now, no one knew what would be decided beforehand, and the coverage was all over the place. How has the coverage been, especially from the religion angle, since the decision has actually been made? Joining us to answer that question, Bobby Rosch Jr., an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Since we last talked to you, the decision has been made on the part of the Boy Scouts of America to allow openly gay members, at least. How do you think the coverage has been since the decision?
Well, I think the coverage it's been diverse. There have been a lot of different angles that various news organizations have covered, and it's actually been pretty interesting to kind of, you know, to see the different angles that various organizations have taken from. You know, the Washington Post has done quite a bit trying to go behind the scenes and say, you know, what really prompted this and why have certain religious groups such as the Mormons and even the Catholics to some extent kind of changed their tenor on this issue, while other coverage from USA Today, CNN, some organizations like that have kind of looked at the issue of will Southern Baptist and other conservative religious groups, will they stop sponsoring Boy Scout troops as a result of this decision?
So let's go through some of those major questions that you've found answers to in the coverage, beginning with the issue of the response of certain Roman Catholic organizations or Roman Catholic churches to the decision of the Boy Scouts. What did you discover there that's important to note?
Well, you know, the Religion News Service had a piece where they were quoting what they described as the Catholic Church's top liaison to the Boy Scouts, basically saying that the new policy is not in conflict with Catholic teaching and that they should continue to support scouting programs. And so, you know, if that person is the key source that you want to believe, then it sounds like the Catholic, you know, Catholics may not have a problem with this, although as Terry Mattingly, my editor at Get Religion, points out, you know, we probably need to wait and hear from the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, and, you know, there's some other scouting organizations within the Catholic Church that will be weighing in. So it's a large and diverse church, the Catholic Church is, so it's, you know, I don't know that you can take what one person says and kind of say this is the gospel truth and what everybody thinks or what direction this thing is really going to go when it all plays out.
Second largest would be the Southern Baptist Convention, 16 million members, some 45,000 congregations. What was important to note in the coverage of their reaction?
Well, I think, you know, they've got their national meeting coming up in June, you know, which the timeliness is real close to this decision that the Boy Scouts have made. And apparently the Southern Baptists are, you know, they're expected to have a resolution where basically they take issue with the Scouts allowing openly gay youths in the organization and basically urge their member congregations to leave the Boy Scouts. So, you know, you've got the, I guess you would describe them as the people in national leadership positions with the Southern Baptist wanting to urge congregations to leave, and probably the, you know, the rank and file expected to vote pretty heavily in favor of that. But then, you know, you've got some other people saying that that may not play out exactly on a congregational level where all Southern Baptist churches leave, because, you know, they're autonomous congregations and, you know, the national body can vote on something, but then it really comes down to what individual congregations want to decide as far as whether they leave or stay.
You did find some interesting coverage after the decision in the Washington Post. You asked the question, just how excited is the Washington Post over the Boy Scouts' new policy? What did you find there that sparked your interest?
Well, you know, and this may just be bias on my part or, you know, my worldview, but the story to me, it just, you know, the headline was Long Road to Boy Scouts Shift on Gay Policy, and, you know, it just seemed to be, you know, maybe cheering a little bit for the decision, and, you know, we're finally here, and is, you know, kind of looking at it from the perspective of, isn't this a great thing that's happened, as opposed to, you know, playing it more straight down the middle and you know, looking at the various viewpoints of the pros and cons and the supporters and the opponents of the policy. And, you know, again, that may be just a personal bias on my side, because, you know, I've kind of threw that out there in a post I did on Get Religion, wondering if, you know, other people who read the story had the same interpretation of it I did. Or, you know, sometimes you'll throw something out there and they say, no, that's your bias, and, you know, the story actually was pretty fair. So, you know, I guess it's up for debate.
Bobby, you did find a story that was kind of making the rounds, a single story from a single author that was making this down the rounds. What was that story, and what did it have to say? Why do you think it has such it's kind of staying power in the circulation system of this, of the media for this story?
Yeah. Well, Bob Smitna, who is the religion writer for the Tennessean, which is a Gannett paper in Nashville. You know, a lot of what he writes, USA Today, which Gannett, you know, is kind of Gannett's flagship, will pick up what he writes. So it was interesting that he wrote a story, you know, kind of looking into whether churches were going to leave the Scouts or not, and saw it, I think it was a Thursday afternoon, saw it on USA Today's website with one headline, and then the next day it was on the front page of USA Today kind of in a different form. And then Bob had written the same story kind of with more of a local angle for the Tennessean, where, you know, it still had still a different headline, you know, and with, you know, with slightly different sources. And then the same story got picked up by Religion News Service. So, you know, kind of the question I'd ask was, how many incarnations can a single Bob Smitna story make? Because it, you know, seemed like that one story just really made the rounds, and, you know, to some extent kind of maybe is symbolic of just the media age that we live in, with so many different online and print options and kind of different associations between, you know, a paper owned by the same company and being able to have the story appear in, you know, in more than one place, and then even on a wire service such as RNS.
Were there any final question on the Boy Scouts issue? Were there any major untold stories or major angles that were kind of missing from the post decision coverage?
You know, not that are coming to mind immediately. I mean, it seems like everybody is, you know, trying to find a slightly different angle. You know, one suggestion that a reader made on one of the posts we did, that which to me I think is a pretty good idea, is to maybe ask those who pushed for inclusion of gay scouts, you know, do you think that the Boy Scouts should allow gay scout masters, and kind of follow that question, because it seems like, you know, one part of the debate is over, but it wouldn't surprise me if you know, there's a turnaround in the next few years or even maybe sooner than that, you know, kind of the issue of, well, if you're going to allow openly gay scouts, why not allow gay scoutmasters and gay leaders. I would be surprised if that issue is dead forever.
Another major story, obviously, the terrible tornado in Moore, Oklahoma. And at the time, shortly afterwards, you made a prediction about the media coverage, what direction it would go. What was your prediction, and did it bear out?
Yeah, my prediction, and this is obviously, you know, I'm an Oklahoma resident, and had actually driven through Moore the afternoon of that tornado just a few hours before it went through and wiped out so much of that city. But my prediction was that the faith and the resiliency of Oklahomans would come into play in the media coverage, and you know that has been borne out. A lot of the coverage that we've seen have been, you know, media reporting on just Oklahomans have picking up and rebuilding, and you know, in some cases, surprised with just, you know, people who've lost so much, and you know, coming on camera and saying, you know, I haven't lost faith. I haven't, you know, that I'm going to rebuild, and this, you know, I maybe even rebuild right here in the same place where tornadoes wipe me out, and not going to, you know, let the tornado get me down, kind of thing.
There was one that I saw. I think my wife and I were watching all the footage that they did shortly afterwards, and this was, maybe even the evening or the afternoon after the tornado, maybe the day after. One old character, he said he was 72 years old, just standing there amidst the absolute wreckage of his home. And the reporter kept pressing him, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to rebuild? And his response was, you know, I don't know, but I had too much stuff anyway, and the Lord's going to take care of us. And he made more references to his faith in the course of that conversation. But I did notice that the reporter was kind of not prepared for those answers. He wanted to talk about the nuts and bolts of rebuilding a home or a life. What do you make of that kind of odd interchange that we saw so often afterwards?
Yeah, I think part of it is just, you know, the part of the country we are, and the fact that, you know, Oklahoma is kind of, you know, it is Bible Belt, and there are, you know, we do have a lot of people of faith and a lot of people, you know, who do believe in God. And, you know, we even saw, you know, Wolf Blitzer kind of, you know, made the, you know, had the opposite thing where he just assumed the lady he was interviewing was a person of faith. And I can't remember exactly, you know, Molly Hemingway at Get Religion had written about this story where he had asked her something about, you know, yeah, I guess you have to give credit to the Lord for kind of bringing you through this. And she kind of, you know, sheepishly told him, I'm an atheist, Wolf. And that kind of, you know, that story got quite a bit of play. But I think, you know, it just comes in, you know, it's just the part of the country where we are. And you know, faith is a big part of life here.
When we come back, we're going to spend a few more minutes with Bobby Rush Jr. A question I've got here really has to do with, did we get a picture? Mentioning the Wolf Blitzer and the other interviews that were done. So many of them with the religion angle. Did we get a picture of how the media looks at middle America, religious America, that whole section of the country, usually called the Bible Belt? I'm going to answer that question right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, Visit steadfastlutherans.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
The Manchester Cathedral Choir with the hymn Holy Spirit Ever Dwelling, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's our 24/7 sacred music station. Something you might notice if you listen there, and I encourage you to do so, LutheranPublicRadio.org. 90% of the music there at Lutheran Public Radio is choral. The music is beautiful, but it's the text that is most important, and you'll hear that at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Bobby Rush Jr. is our guest for the next few minutes. We're talking about the media coverage of Oklahomans in the aftermath of the recent tornadoes there. Bobby, we were talking about Religious America before the break. Did we learn something about how the media looks at that segment of the population, Religious America, the Bible Belt, etc.?
You know, it's the heartland, and I think anytime something happens in flyover country, you know, there's some stereotypes that come into play, and at the same time, when reporters actually get to talk to the people and know the people, maybe they do kind of see people in a different light when they kind of go just a little bit below the surface instead of some of the stereotypes that maybe you hear about backward people in a backward place. If kind of, and I guess I'm giving stereotypes myself as I answer your question. But
so, how would you summarize the post-tornado, more tornado religion angle coverage, Bobby?
I think it's been pretty good. I would love to see maybe a little more coverage on just kind of how the religious community is helping rebuild and helping, you know, just kind of money flowing into churches and faith-based groups. And, you know, you hear a lot about groups like the Red Cross and Salvation Army, which is, you know, a religious group that are doing so much, but there's also a lot of churches and people just grassroots doing a lot of good as far as the rebuilding effort. And that might be an area where some more coverage might be warranted.
Bobby Rush Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle. And he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.